The following talk was given at the Insight Meditation Center in Redwood City, California. Please visit our website at audiodharma.org.
So, this week we will continue to talk about this wonderful quality of mindfulness. But the theme will be different aspects of mindfulness as protection. And in fact, I wanted to show you. You can see on this wrist, I have this red cord. On this one, I have a little white cord. These are called protection cords, and you may have received them at some retreat or other Buddhist event. And I'm remembering that one time the teacher, I think it was John Travis, asked when he was receiving one, so what is this protection from? And the monk who was giving it to him said, it's protection from yourself. And I found that to be a useful idea. In some sense, they're just pieces of string, but we can conceive of them as protections from ourselves. And I think as we practice, we come to understand that that is useful. That's a useful image. So speaking of images, this week we'll be looking at images or similes from the suttas that relate to mindfulness. And there are a lot. And as I was sort of looking through and collecting up the various images, it was clear that protection is really a theme and different aspects of it. So maybe I'll just talk for a moment about the value of these images and similes that there are in the suttas. I don't know how many there are, but there are certainly well over 100 different images used for various qualities and experiences in the teachings. It's clear that the Buddha was a teacher who liked to evoke that aspect of us, the images, the feelings, our connection to them. And often the images relate to things that are quite accessible in life, images of simple feelings that we have, or, of course, many of them are agricultural from his time, but we can imagine that fairly well still. And they're meant to be, I think, quite experiential. We're meant to have a sense, a visceral sense of what that image is pointing to. And that may speak to a different part of our heart than just hearing words or having ideas. So that's one of the reasons to look at them carefully. They speak maybe to the non-rational aspect of us, which is not the irrational aspect of us, but the non-rational. Hopefully you can see the difference. And it's possible, I have found, that these images, maybe I read them at the time and I think, oh yeah, okay, that makes sense. I can kind of feel that. But sometimes they can really bubble up during a sit. The mind will, we read something about fear and then, and it's nice in the moment. And then during a sit, maybe when fear comes up, that same image will suddenly have meaning. I found it's like, oh, that is what that was referring to. That's exactly what it feels like. Wow. And so I hope maybe you'll take in some of these images and consider, just store them, maybe store them somehow in your mind or your heart and see if they come up for you sometime. So each day has a theme, which is some aspect of protection. And we'll be looking at these images, sometimes one, sometimes more than one each day that relate to a certain theme. So today's protection related theme is called guarding the sense doors. And so that is, it's about mindfulness as a basic protection for ourselves. And guarding the sense doors means taking care with the eyes, ears, nose, tongue, body, and mind, such that inputs to those senses don't overwhelm the mind. In Buddhist teachings, there are six sense doors, those ones that I named. So one basic image that's used is the image of six animals that are bound together by a rope. And so the animals are a snake, a crocodile, a bird, a dog, a jackal, and a monkey. Pretty different kinds of animals. And so you can imagine that what happens is each one wants to go in its own direction. Now, each one tries to go toward its natural place. The monkey wants to go up to the trees, and the bird wants to fly, and I think it says the snake wants to go to the anthill. But anyway, they're all going in a different direction. And if you just tie them together with a rope and let the rope go, the strongest animal is going to win, and they'll all have to go that way. And so this is the idea here. The metaphor is that the six animals are the six sense bases that each want to do something different. Our eyes are going somewhere, our ears, our mind. And so if we're just, you know, willy-nilly let that happen, what kind of whatever's the strongest is what we'll end up doing. And that's really not so helpful, but that might be kind of how we go through our day when we're not mindful. So then the contrast is to have the same six animals bound with a rope, but they're tied up to a stake, and the stake is put in the ground. And so then what happens is the animals can't actually go, and eventually they get tired and they lie down. So the image says, and so the same thing is if we have mindfulness of our senses, then our sense doors, then we don't get drawn off. They're not running off in different directions. You know, we can just hear things, but we don't start thinking about that and worrying about that or being angry about the thought, about the sound. And so eventually things will settle down, quiet down. We can maybe see this sometimes in meditation. Also applicable in daily life when all of our, when we have all six senses operating. So then, so that's maybe one way we can think about how mindfulness guards our sense doors, prevents them from running off. But I want to also talk about another nice image that's more specifically for the sixth sense door of the mind, which is the one where we often get in trouble. I think we can see. So this is one that's from MN19, a sutta about thoughts, about different kinds of thoughts. And so when we have many different thoughts in our mind that are related to the hindrances, actually the sutta says they're related to sensual desire, ill will, or cruelty, but we could probably include all hindrance-related thoughts, since I know you just talked last week with Gil about the hindrances. And so when we have a lot of thoughts like that, it's a kind of a drain on the mind. And if we keep track of what we're thinking with mindfulness, then we can kind of redirect those unhelpful thoughts. And the image given is that of a cowherd who is trying to handle a pack of cows. Does it ever feel like your thoughts are like a herd of cows going in different directions? You've got to try to kind of keep it together. So the image is like this. It says, just as in the last month of the rainy season, in the autumn, when the crops thicken, a cowherd would guard his cows by constantly tapping and poking them on this side and that in order to check them. So the idea here is that it won't be good if the cows get into the crops and eat them. And so the cowherd stays close to the cows, kind of poking them this way and that. And when the mind has a lot of these thoughts, then in the same way, we have to kind of guard our mind carefully by doing a lot of noting practice, for example, or really paying attention to those thoughts each time they come. And maybe one thing to note also is that the cowherd is not angrily beating the cows to get them back in line. He's just tapping them gently but firmly. And so if we do that in our mind and we gently but firmly, you know, note, okay, nope, not going to go off into anxiety, nope, not going to ruminate about my housemaid, etc. As we do this, the mind will tend to settle down. same way that the six animals get tired when they're bound to the stake and eventually settle down. And then the nice thing is that we don't need to be checking so actively with the mindfulness. The mindfulness also can change. And so there's another image given in that same sutta, again, about the cowherd. And it says, just as in the last month of the hot season, when all the crops have been brought inside the villages, a cowherd would guard his cows while staying at the root of a tree or out in the open, since he only needs to be mindful that the cows are there. So it's a whole different image, right? The cows can just be, you know, out in the field because there's no crops left that they're going to eat. And so the cowherd gets to just rest under a tree and just kind of watch that they're there. And in the same way, if the mind is in a more skillful place, you know, having thoughts of non-ill will, non-cruelty, thoughts of generosity, it's fine just to know that those thoughts are there. Or maybe it even settles down enough not to have very many thoughts. And then we can just be calmly present. So this protection that's called guarding the sense doors could be quite active, or it could be quite relaxed. It depends on the state of the mind and what sort of external inputs and internal thoughts we're experiencing at a given time, how we need to be mindful of them in order to guard our senses. So over time, we'll find that we can be with more and more challenging situations mindfully. So the mind gets less reactive overall. And so we'll find that the nature of guarding changes throughout the course of the long arc of our practice, as well as, you know, the short-term arc of just how the mind is right now. So the hope then is that during this week, we'll build a picture out of different images of the many ways that mindfulness serves as a protector. And today we looked at this idea of guarding the sense doors, of not letting the mind run out in the same way that it seems like the images are about animals, in the same way that animals kind of wander off if we don't keep track of them. So I hope that's a helpful image for you to get started on today, or maybe it's later in the day for you. But consider, maybe consider today what it would be like to guard the sense doors with mindfulness and to see mindfulness as our simple protector. So thank you.